Okay, good morning. We are on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're dealing with the topic called Gezel Akum. In times of old, the nations were very, very terrible, idolatrous, and thieves. And the sages had therefore established that while a person's not allowed to openly steal from the nations, if a person owes money to the nations and he can find a way of somehow avoiding repayment in a way that wouldn't be a desecration of God's name, that the guy, the other side, fools himself, then it would be okay. And the Gemara has a whole bunch of stories illustrating that. So we're on the second line here on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Now all the posts can say that nowadays the non-Jews are not so terrible, so these laws don't apply. And to the non-Jews of today, a person's not allowed to avoid repaying a debt or cheat on taxes.
But if Rabbi, the shopkeeper, the non-Jew shopkeeper makes a mistake.
Yeah, but he's not included in this term, akum. So it's not, so you couldn't do it. You have to pay them back. Okay. Ravi, you know, for example, a ger toshav, you never could do this to. You know, he wasn't Jewish, but he's an ethical person.
You say you can go to a non-Jew store and the guy makes a mistake.
You have to tell him. Also, right. Stories. Ravina Zavin Diklahu Vakuti Litzlacha. Ravina, together with a kuti, purchased a date tree in order to take wood from it. Amar Lashama, he told the Shamas, Kadam Va'aisimi Ikaro. You go quickly take from the trunk. Quickly take some of the bigger, fatter pieces of wood. To kuti minyana yada. Because all the kuti knows is how many numbers of branches he's supposed to get, but he's unaware of the quality of the branches that he's supposed to get. Rav Ash, he was going on the road. He saw branches of gufna, branches of grapes in an orchard. Hanging on these branches were bunches of grapes. Amar Lashami said to his shamas, Zil chazi go see, id the kuti ninu, if they belong to the kuti, I see, you can bring them. Id Yisrael ninu, if they belong to Jews, lo I see, li, don't bring it to me. So, shamahu kuti, davi yasu pardisa. So there was a kuti sitting there in the orchard who heard this comment. Amalei said to Ravashi, I understand, kuti shari, if it's my branches, you're allowed to steal them? Amalei, he said, no, I didn't mean that. I meant kuti shakil dami. If it's a kuti, he'll be willing to sell it. He'll be willing to take money. Yisrael lo shakil dami. Yisrael won't be willing to take money. And I was telling my man that if it's a kuti's, take it. In other words, pay for it. But I was certainly saying to pay for it. Goof, we learned before Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Dina de malchusa dina. The law of the land is the law. That if a government makes laws and makes fair laws and the laws are there to benefit the society, Jews are religiously obligated to keep those laws. Amar Rava, Rava said, what's the proof that the law of the land is the law? Tades, I'll prove it to you. We all travel on bridges in the government, in the land. Tades, so no, Dukatli Dikli, we know that they go and they cut down trees. The Gashrik Shuri, and they make out of the trees bridges. And we travel on those bridges. Now, if we're going to say that the law of the land is not the law, so then the government, when it took the trees, was stealing. And if I walk on the boards of the tree, I'm walking on stolen property. I'm using stolen property. It's like we saw the cases earlier of Chizda. Somebody stole something, the owner didn't despair. And then somebody else eats it, that other person also needs to pay. So if you're going to tell me that the law of the land is not the law, then government is stealing my property when it takes the taxes. But since the law of the land is the law, government is allowed to take the trees and turn them into boards. Eminent domain. No. And government pays there, so all the more so. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, maybe not, maybe the law of the land is not the law. And when government took my tree, it was stealing. So why am I able to walk on the bridge? Because I, the owner of the tree, gave up of getting it back. Amalesi said to him, Ilo dina de malchus adina, if the law of the land would not be the law, how would a person have despaired? In other words, why would despair be enough? When you have despair, you also need a change. But making a bridge has not changed the object. And therefore, you still shouldn't be able to walk on it because you're still using that which is stolen. Must be that the law of the land is the law. Asks the Gemara, Ivo loko avdikidam or Malka, but the tax collector doesn't do what the king told him to do. The tax collector or the eminent domain man who grabs my tree is not doing according to the law. Because Malka, Mazilu v'katami kol bagi. The king certainly said, go and take wood from all the valleys, from all the different fields. And we know that the man who is carrying out the government orders usually only goes to one field and takes. So this one guy gets picked on. If one guy is being picked on, that's not law. Answers the Gemara, no. Malka. Amar. The king told him, Zilu v'katlami kol bagi. The king, I'm sorry, so the Gemara is like this. No, shlucha de malka ke malka. The guy who came and took the wood for the bridge, he's the representative of the king. Therefore, he's like the king. Really, he's obligating all the farmers to give of their wood for the bridge. But he got lazy. Hello, tzarach. He got lazy instead of going to all the farmers. He grabbed from one farmer a bunch of trees. So basically what that means is that that farmer should now go back to the other farmers and say, listen, what I gave was more than my portion. I really gave your portion for you. You now pay me back what I laid out for you. So that farmer is just harming himself because he didn't go and collect and press the claims that he can press. He should have gone to all those valley to all those plots, Umishkal Dami, and gotten reimbursed from all the other people who own trees. Okay.
It's not very practical.
What do you mean it's not practical?
I mean, if the king confiscates from me my trees, then how do I have basically any enforcement rights against owners of other trees in some other location? Unless the king basically enforces it. It's very hard for me to go and collect.
Yeah, the king will endorse it because it's the right thing. He said, "I'm not. It's not just Gabriel who has to give me for the bridge. Everybody has to give me for the bridge. But I didn't want to go through the hassle of collecting from each one, so I collected it all from Gabriel. The Bezdin would enforce it too. You could go to Bezdin. Bezdin would put them into Cherem if they wouldn't give you. You laid out money for them, so you have a means of enforcement." Says the Gemara. Amar Rava said, another law in terms of one guy laying out money for everybody else. If the guy is found in the grain silo, Paramanasa de Malka, he's the one who ends up paying the amount that has to go to the king. In other words, if there are four partners in a grain silo, three, you know, did whatever they needed to do to thresh the grain and then leave with their threshed grain, and the fourth is there, you know, threshing his grain, and that's when the police show up demanding the taxes. So this fourth, he pays for everyone, and since he pays for everyone, he can now go back and get reimbursed from the other three. Vahani Mili, when do we say that that's the law of the land, that the guy who happens to be caught in the threshing field is the one who's going to have to pay for everyone? Shutva, if all four are partners, Avalarisa, but if that fourth is not a partner in the field, he's just a sharecropper getting some of the wheat, Arisusu the Kamapik. So a sharecropper gets, I don't know, 25%, 30%, he's entitled to that 30%. He really only has to pay taxes from his 30%. He doesn't have to lay out taxes for all the people who use the threshing floor. So if he did, that means that the government official stole. The government official went beyond Dina de Malchusa, and that extra money would be stolen money, because that he wasn't allowed to take. Amar Rav Rava taught another halacha about the law of the land. Bar Masa, Mi'avit. again, remember, in those days, a person used to buy the concession of collecting the taxes. He would go to the Roman governor, or the Persian governor. He would say to the governor, I know you want to collect for your budget $5 million in taxes. I'm going to give you $4,995,000 or $950,000. In return, I'll be the one to collect the taxes, and I'll keep it. The governor would say, fine, you do that. That was the deal. So Rava said the following, bar masa miyavit. If a Jewish tax collector comes into a town and he sees that there is another Jew who ran away. He ran away, so he can't collect the taxes from that guy. So what he can do is he can collect that guy's taxes and another man's taxes from the other man. He can go to Reuven, he says, Shimon, your friend is gone. Shimon owes me $100. Everybody owes me $100. You owe me $100. I'm taking $200 from you. When Shimon comes back, you fight with him to get that $100 back. That's all part of the law. When is this the case that one is allowed to do so? Devurla ara, with the tax that's placed on the harvest. Ukragan, this is true also about the head tax, that the law is that the guy who buys the rights of the head tax, or the guy who buys the rights of the harvest tax, can, you know, basically force the community to pay up for those who are deadbeats, and when the deadbeats come back, the community has to reimburse itself from them. It's a high shata, but it's also only true with the harvest tax and head tax of this year. Avol shasa dechalef, but let's say he bought last year's head tax, and he already paid. Holu fayis malka, since the king has already been satisfied with the laid out money that was given to him. So Khalif, so at that point, it's not an obligation to the king. It's an obligation to him. So when it's Jewish money, I don't have a right to make one person pay another person's debt to me. If it's non-Jewish money, basically it's this year's taxes, which the king still is expecting to get. So then I can, then it's the law of the land issues. Law of the land, I can make one guy pay even though he's paying double. Because I'm making him pay for his neighbor who's a deadbeat. He'll have to collect from the neighbor. But if it's for last year's issues, last year the king already got paid off his piece for last year. He got paid off for last year. So now it's my money. As a Jew, I'm not allowed to, for my money to grab from one Jew because of another Jew's crimes. That I can't do. Rava said another halacha. Hani de dairi dairi. Non-Jews who have animals which they use to create fertilizer. You know, they rent out their animals to fertilize fields. If the animals were found besochat chum within the area, aser likach mehen, you can't buy an animal from them. My time away. Mishum de marva chivasa de masaba dayu. They have mixed in animals of the field together with their animals. So if you're buying an animal from these guys who have a fleet of animals that they put out to rent, you're buying Jewish animals that are stolen. But chutzut tchum, if the animals are from way outside of the domain, outside of the tchum, outside of the area of the city, mutar lukachmem, you can buy some of those animals, because those are certainly their animals and there are no Jewish animals from the city mixed in. Ravina said, however, let's say these are animals from outside of the area, but their owners are, the Jewish owners are running and saying, hey, there's some Jewish animals in that flock, don't you buy from it. Even if the animals are coming from work that they did way outside of the city, so you can't, because you're buying Jewish stolen goods. Rava, some say Rav Huna used to announce, this Hulk and Le'ela, those who go up to the land of Israel, the Nachman Lasat, and those who go down to Iraq. Hi, Bar Yisrael, the other Sadusa Lakuti. If you are a single Jewish man and you know testimony that would benefit a Kuti to collect money away from a Jew, let's say, and the Lo Tavumine, the courts, the Kuti courts have not demanded that you come testify. And Azovasa Lebedina the Kuti, and you go and you testify in the Persian courts, Al Yisrael Chavri, against your Jewish friend, Misham Tinale, you deserve to be put into Cherem. Why? Because it's going to be, the courts are going to take money in an unfair way. And then you're a participant in that unfair seizure of cash.
So today would be okay because we've adjusted the government.
Well, let's see. My time.
Even if the Jew had stolen the money from the Kuti.
Well, yeah. because we'll see, it's an unfair justice. Why? In what way is it unfair? My time, huh? Because in the Kuti courts, they would take money out of a person's hands by the words of one witness. Remember, we have a rule in the Torah, Pishnayim Edim Yakum Davar. You can only prove guilt if you have two witnesses, and they would rely on one witness. So you are going to help them in an illicit seizure. The law marim, so when is this true? Elachad, if you are a single witness. Avil betray lo, but if you are two Jews who know testimony against a Jew, you can go testify in a non-Jewish court too, because a Jewish court would accept the two witnesses. So you're basically carrying out the fair law. The fair law is that this Jew should be paying. And even when we said that a single Jewish witness should not testify against another Jewish witness, against another Jew in a Kuti court, that's only when it's about a, you know, it's the laws that are being carried out by the villagers. They don't know what they're doing. Avol beidvar, but if the laws are being carried out in, you know, the government courts, so inunam, even the Kutim know that the Jewish standard is the right standard. And chad amumsa shadule, if there's only a single witness, they're not going to collect money. They're just going to make the guy against whom the claim, against whom there was testimony, swear. And that's fair. That's Jewish law too. If a single witness testifies against someone, that person needs to swear.
Rabbi, excuse me, but it's still frowned upon for two Jews who have a dispute to go to a secular court.
Yeah, yeah, they shouldn't go to secular court.
Well, today's day and age, we wouldn't use two witnesses in the U.S. court.
One witness would be believed to extricate money. Good. Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher used to say, Yavina be Rav Huna, when I was at the home of Rav Huna, in the yeshiva of Rav Huna, he put on there the following question, Adam Chashav, the Sam Chalek Beitre, what happens with a very prominent person that the Kutim trust him as they trust him like two witnesses? And therefore, mafki mamona apume veloi boiled acid. He should realize that they would extricate money based on his word, and therefore he's not allowed to testify. Maybe since he's a prominent person, lo matzi mishtamet luhu. So if they know that he has some testimony, he's not going to be able to escape it. If people know, he's not going to be able to stay away from the court case. And therefore, he has to testify. Matzi lasudi, he's allowed to testify. So, Teiku, we don't know the answer to that question. Amar Rav Ashi said, "Hi, Bar Yisrael, the Zavon La'ar Lulovit Kolchav Ma'mitzu the Bar Yisrael Chavre." We have a rule in Baba Basra that when there's land for sale, so let's say I have a house on 100 Cedar Street, and there's a house next door, 110 Cedar Street, for sale. No other Jew should buy 110. Because we should all let me buy it, because for me it's more meaningful than for anybody else. The neighbor always would rather have the land next door than anybody else. So bar mitzvah, the law of the neighbor is, be nice to the guy who's living on the border. So what about the following case? Rav Ashi said, "Hi, Bar Yisrael, there was a Jew. He sold land, not to the Jew, but he sold land to a guy, and you know these were the old guy, the really tough nations of the world." Metzud bar Yisrael chavre, on the border of a Jew, his friend. So that's a really nasty thing. He should have sold it to the Jew. So then mishamtinale. Then we put him into cheirim. We excommunicate him. So wait one second. My time. Why are we putting him into excommunication? Inim mishamtinale the bar metzra. If it's based on the standard laws of bar metzra, of neighborly relations, when a house is up for sale, no one else should buy it other than the neighbor. I have a but we learn zavin me'akum if you buy from a non-Jew, or zavin le'akum, or selling to a non-Jew. Lekum mishamtinale the bar metzra. You don't really have the law of bar metzra, right? You don't have the law of bar metzra when you sell to a non-Jew, because the law is not so much on the seller. The law is on the buyers. The buyer should let the neighbor buy. No one should put in a bid so that the neighbor can buy. But if there is a non-Jew who wants to buy, he doesn't have this law, he can buy. And there's no law of bar mitzvah in terms of buying from a non-Jew. You're allowed to buy from a non-Jew who's selling his field that's next to a Jew. So the Gemara says, Ella, the reason why we put the guy in cheirim, even though from the laws of bar mitzvah it wasn't necessarily so terrible, is the amile, we tell him, Arvoyously Arya Mitzrayi. You did a terrible thing. You put a non-Jew, you put a lion on the borders of a Jew. You know, here's a Jew. And now he's going to have this neighbor who's going to steal from his produce, who's going to steal some of his land. You created all these losses for him. So therefore, Mishamtinu, you put him into Chayim, the seller, at the Kibbalah, Kol Unsa Da'asi Machmasay, until he accepts to pay for all the various acts of coercion that are going to come from this neighbor, that he's going to reimburse the guy that he's causing all these losses to, and we put him into Chayim until he accepts that.
Rabbi, is it in Israel or outside Israel?
Anywhere.
But anyway. Rabbi, if a goy offers $10,000 for that property, and the Jew next door wants to pay $500, what do you do?
So that I think it has to be, I think it has to be within equitable amount.
Right of first
refusal.
And I think we'll get to it in Baba Basra. Next Mishnah. Let's say the tax collectors, again, remember in those days, the tax collector was a Jewish guy who bought the right to collect the taxes and to keep the taxes because he paid, or he fronted the money, most of the money, to the king. So if the tax collectors took his donkey, even Aslo Chamor Acher, they gave him a different donkey. Or Natlu Listimus Ksusov, thieves took his garment, even Aslo Ksus Acheris, they gave him a different garment. Harelu Shalom, he can keep that garment or donkey that was given to him. Why? Presumably the same way these people stole from him, they stole the object that they gave to him from somebody else. It's true that they stole it, but the original owners despaired. And since they despaired, he now can own it. We know that they despair. People always despair from these types of aggressors. A person who saves something that's about to get washed away in a river. Omina Gaius, or from a troop of soldiers. Omina Listim, or from thieves. Ibn Yashua Abanim, if you heard the owner's despair, if you heard them say, oh my gosh, our objects are gone, then you could keep those objects. The same is true with a stream of bees. Ibn Yashua, if you heard the owner's despair, Re'elu Shalom, you can keep the bees. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Broker. Rabbi Yochanan Broker said, if you see a stream of bees and a guy's running after them, as the Gemara will explain, he's claiming, these are my bees, we would believe a child or a woman who says, yeah, that's the bees of that person, it came from that guy's place. Yeshua instituted that I could even run into my friend's field to get and ruin some of his field to get back my stream of bees. However, in Hizik, if I damage Mishama Shizik, I have to pay for what I damaged. But I can't cut down a branch of his tree where my bees came to rest to get all my bees back. Rabbi Yoshua instituted that I can even cut down the branch and take all my bees as long as I pay for the branch. Says the Gemara, Tanu Hidin Abraisa Im Natal. Bryce disagrees with our Mishnah that if a tax collector took my donkey and he gave me a different donkey, I have to give that other donkey back to the original owner. So Ksavar, apparently the Bryce holds Yushkdi Lo Kani. Just because there's despair, that's not enough for the thief to own it. So even when it comes into my hand, it was still prohibited, it was still stolen goods. So even though there's despair, I need to give it back. But others say, that the Braisa is not saying I need to give back the donkey to the original owner, but it's saying if I want to give the donkey back to the original owner, I should do so. My time really yishkadi is kani. Because really the despair made the thief own it when he gave it to me. It's an owned object. But if the guy who was the victim of the tax collector says, I don't like taking money that isn't really mine, then so then give it back to the original owners.
Did that mean the tax collector was a ganiv because he had a stolen donkey and exchanged it with the other donkey? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we've seen before the tax collectors are ganavim. Yeah, because they take more than what they're entitled to take.
Oh, we said, yeah, it works. From yesterday's Mishnah, where we said the tax collector had money, you couldn't even get change.
Right.
Because,
so maybe that Mishnah was following this price that held that Yish didn't work.
Good tax collector, even if he despairs, you should give it back.
If you get a donkey from the tax collector, you can keep it because the original owner disappeared. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, "Lo shanu ela listim ov de kochavim." One of the cases was the thief. That's only true if the thief, the armed thief, was a guy. I will listim Yisrael. But if the armed thief was a Jew who took my donkey and gave me a different donkey, lo, then I can't keep that different donkey. Why? Because the Jewish victim, Savar figures, tomorrow I'm going to take him to court and I'm going to get the donkey back, so he never disappeared. Maskefler of Yosef, challenged this. Adrab, on the opposite, Ipcha Mestabra, the opposite makes sense. Akum the Daini Begiti, the non-Jews, who their judges are very arrogant and they, you know, use coercive force. So Lomiyayish Yisrael, if the Jew is stolen from by the non-Jew, he doesn't despair. Kivan to Amri, because he says, Meimar Miyayish. He doesn't despair. However, Yisrael, but in the Jewish courts who deal with the Jewish thieves, Kivan Damar Meimar, because all they can do is just recommend. They say, listen, you should be paying back. They can't really beat a guy up. So then Miyayish, then the victim knows he's not going to get his donkey back. So he did despair about it. Eliyat, so if you want to say something, I'll say it. May have to say it on the last case of the Mishnah. If somebody saves an object from non-Jews or from armed robbers, if the owners had given up, then he can keep them. But normally, without hearing that they had given up, lo, he can't hold on to them. So lo shanu, that on that Ravashi said that's only true. Ela akum. That's true with non-Jewish thieves, because their courts judge very harshly, and therefore the victim figures I can get my object back by going to court. I will list to Yisrael, but if it was a Jewish bandit, Kevin Dami Meimar, since the Jewish courts only recommend Miyayish, then the victim figures I'm never going to get the object back, and therefore you can hold on to that object that you got back from the thieves, even when you haven't yet heard the Jewish original owner despair. We looked in a Mishnah. We've seen this before. We know if you have a skin, it can't necessarily become tame until it was fully manufactured. It's finished. So what happens when you could do more to the skin, but the guy who's holding the skin says it's finished already? So it depends. We looked in a Mishnah. Tanhasam Oroshel Balabayis, skins of an owner, Machshavim Etamasam. Just thinking that they're done already makes them able to become tame. Vishal Abdan, but of a craftsman, Ein Machshavim Etamasam. Even though he thought it was done, it's not done because the buyer is going to keep doing things to it. Shel Gazlan, a skin that an open thief has, Ein Machshavim Etamasam. The thoughts of the open thief don't make it able to become tame. Vishal Gana, but of a burglar, Machshavim Etamasam. The thoughts that it's done make it able to become tamid. Shimon Omer Chilav Advarim. Shimon says the opposite. Shel gazlan of an open thief, machshav mitamasan. Shel ganav of a burglar, ein machshav mitamasan. The thoughts don't make them become tamid. The fish lo nesiyashua by them because the owners have not despaired. So we have an argument between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says that in open theft there is despair and therefore the thief really owns it, and when he thinks that it's done, it's done. But a ganav, then there's no despair. So Amar Ula said, Machlokas Pistam. The argument is a case of a gazlan and a case of a ganav, and we didn't hear anything from the victim. Avul Biyodua, but if we know that the victim said he despaired, Dirve Yakol, then everybody agrees, despair is enough, Yushkani. But Rabba said something radical. Biyodua Nami Machlokas. According to Rabba, even when we hear the victim say, he despairs, according to the Rabbanan. If it's an open thief, we don't trust him, because we know that he knows who the thief was. He didn't really despair. He said he despaired, but he didn't really do it. And according to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of a ganav, because the aggressor was so scared to reveal himself, he figures the guy is such a weakling, he doesn't despair, even though he said he despaired. Amar le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye used to say to Rabba, Lotif legale du'ula, don't disagree with the idea of ula, that if it was explicit, there is despair. The Mishnah says like him. The Mishnah says that if you get things back from thieves. You can't keep them. Lefi shalom nesiyashua bailam, because the owners haven't given up. Time to nesiyashua bailam, implying the owners haven't given up. Avon nesiyashua bailam, but if they have given up, harelu shalom, then you can keep it. Amalei, so he said no. Anan, the way I read the Mishnah is differently. Lefi shein yirush lebailam asdinala. I read it, you can't keep it because the owners couldn't give up. Even if they would say that they gave up, we don't believe them. We know that they didn't give up, and you can't keep it. If the tax collectors take my donkey and they give me back one of their donkeys, I can keep it. So, Mani, who is this Mishnah? Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan. So, Kasha Gazlan, you have a problem with an open thief, because they think that an open thief, there is no despair. Reb Shimon, Kasha Ganav. If it's Reb Shimon, you have a problem with the case of Ganav, because he thinks that a burglar, there's no despair. So Bishmalula, according to Ula Damar Biyadua Kani, that if the guy said he despaired, everybody agrees that there's despair. Hachanami Biyadua Vidi Riyakol. You can say that our mission is talking about a case where the fellow said he despaired. Ella Rabba, but according to Rabba, Damar Biyadua Nami Machlokas, who says even when the person says he despairs, we don't necessarily trust him. So Hamani, now who is it? Lo Rabban of Lo Rabbishimon. It's neither the Rabban nor Rabbishimon. Answers the Gemara. We're talking about Ballista Mizuyan. We're talking about armed robbers. For Rabbi Shimoni, and it's the view of Rabbi Shimon who says that in the case of Goslin there is despair. So even when it talked about Gneva, it really meant an armed robber. Yachi, if so, I knew Goslin, it's the same thing as Goslin. You're right, Trey Gavni, Goslin, the two cases of Goslin listed. Tashma, come in here. We learned Taganava, Goslinva, Anas. If a person is a burglar or an open robber or a person who forces money away from somebody, Hektesh and Hektesh. If that person then makes that object Kadosh, it's Kadosh. Chumas and Chumah. If he made it Chumah, it's Chumah. Umasros and Meister. If he made out of it Meister, it's Meister. So money, who's that? Rabban, if it's the Rabban and Kasha Gazlan, why was a Gazlan able to make something Hektesh? He doesn't own it. There was no Yush. Rab Shimon, if it's Rab Shimon, Kasha Ganav. Why is a Ganav able to make something Hektesh? He doesn't own it. There was no Yush. Bishmalam, Lu'ula Damar Biyadua Kani Ulu, who says that even according to Rabbi Shimon, if we hear explicitly Yush, then we would trust it. Hachanan Biyadua Vidir Biyakol. You can say here we're talking about where there was an explicit Yush and everybody agrees. El Rabbadam Biyadua Naim Machlokas, but according to Rabbi, says even when it's explicit, there's an argument. Samani, so is it Lo Rabban of Lo Rabbi Shimon? It's not Rabban of another Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, Hachanami, but listen, Mizuyin. Here too, we're talking about armed robbers. Rabbi Shimon, it's the view of Rabbi Shimon. That's where there is despair. Yachi, if so, I know Gazlan is the same thing as Gazlan. Why did it say Ganav, Gazlan? Right? Ganav is the same thing as Gazlan. Ganav is an armed robber. You're right, Trey Gavni, Gazlan, list the two types of Gazlan. Iba, you say, or else I could tell you like this. Amasnisa, this price, so Rebbe is the view of Rebbe. The Tanya, because we learned that Rebbe used to say a third view, not Reb Shimon nor the Rabbanan. Ganav ke Gazlan. A Ganav is like a Gazlan. What did that mean? Haimon ke Gazlan, Reb Shimon, just like Reb Shimon holds that in a Gazlan. There is despair, Rebbe holds it in a Ganav, there is despair. Gufa, we learned, Rebbe Omer Ani, Ganav ki Gazlan, a Ganav is like a Gazlan, Iboilu, that is Shailan the Yeshiva. Ki Gazlan the Rabbanan, that means that a Ganav is like the Gazlan of the Rabbanan, that there is no despair, because you know who it is. Velo Kani, and he's saying that there's no acquisition, Adumu ki Gazlan the Rabbi Shimon Kamar, he's saying that a Ganav is like the Gazlan of Rabbi Shimon, and there is Yush, Vakani, and the Ganav acquires through the despair. Tashma, come here, proof. We learned, Nakumosim Chamoro, if the tax collectors took my donkey and they give me back another donkey, and then the Mishnah gives other cases. If the thieves took my donkey and they gave me back another donkey. So one second. Mani, who's the Mishnah? Here, Rabban, if it's Rabban and Kasha Gazlan, what, the open thieves, if they give me back something, why was there despair? Here, Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, Kasha Ganav, if it's the burglars, if they give me back something, why is there despair? So, yeah, Bishlama Rebbe, Ki Gazlan, the Rabbi Shimon, Kamar. But if you can say that Rebbe says that a Ganav is the same as Gazlan, the Kani he acquires, Hamani Rebbe, so then the Mishnah is Rebbe. Mishamachi Kani, that's why the Ganav acquired also. Eliyama Ki Gazlan, the Rabbana. But if Rebbe is saying that the Ganav doesn't have Yush, so the Velo Kani, he doesn't acquire, so Hamani, so then who's our Mishnah? Lo Rebbe, Velo Rabbi Shimon, Velo Rabban. It's not Rebbe, it's not Rabbi Shimon, nor is it the Rabbana. No, we're talking about in our Mishnah where it gave the case of a thief who stole from me and he gives me back something else. But listen, Mizuyin, we're talking about an armed thief. And that's Rabbi Shimon, who agrees that an armed thief, there is Yush. Yachan of Gazlan, it's the same thing as the case of Gazlan. You're right, Trey Gavni Gazlan, it listed two cases of Gazlan. Tashma, coming here, proof we learned, Taganav, Gazlan, Va'anas. a ganav or a gazlan or an anas, hektesh and hektesh. If they take an object and then they make it kaddish, it's kaddish. Jumas and jumum, maser and meiser. So money again, who's this? Your rabban and fits the rabban and kasha gazlan. Why, if a gazlan takes an object, can he make it kaddish? There was no yush, according to the rabbanan. Your b'shimin, if it's your b'shimin kasha ganav, he says that in ganav there's no yush. And it's the gemara, yam b'shimin a ganav ki gazlan to your b'shimin kamer. But if you're going to say Rebbe, he holds that in a ganav there's also yush. B'shimachi kani, yam at ganav ki gazlan to rabbanan, money. So then who is it? It's the Gemara again. The list in Mizrim, we're talking about armed robbers. When it said Ganav, it means armed robbers. And it's Rabbi Shimon who holds it in a Gazlan. There's Yush. Yachan a Gazlan? You're right. Trey Gavni. Gazlan. Two types of cases of Gazlan.
One second before I'm making the decision with my colleague. We invite you personally with your wife. We would like to see your family.